country band?
Yeah, called Cicada Song, which is, as you mentioned, a single dropped from a forthcoming album. It's been, you know, gestating for a while, so maybe Like a Cicada will take 7 years. Hopefully not, but eventually we'll see the light of day for this album. But yeah, Tea Leaves are playing live tonight at Craft Heads. It's going to be a country showcase featuring a lot of other cool bands, so make sure to check that out. Two great shows happening just down the block from one another. Maybe try to check both out if you can.
Yes, and coming up next, what we're going to do now is we're going to be playing the full Aladdin Sane album by David Bowie in celebration of its 50th anniversary, and we're going to do what we always do when we do a full album focus. We play side A and side B, split it up in the middle, and then we also try to play alternate and different versions of songs to kind of give the album a different look. As opposed to what you might always hear, just hearing all the studio tracks.
That's right, while still paying homage to its legacy. Of course, this was the second album that Bowie would perform and record with the lineup of the Spiders from Mars, which kind of had its proto-form when he was recording Hunky Dory, but was fully formed with the preceding album, Ziggy Stardust, to great commercial acclaim and critical acclaim as well. So, of course, you have Mick Ronson with his very distinctive guitar lines all over here. There's also a new member to the group that Dave was mentioning who contributed quite a bit, Mike Garson.
Yeah, he was added as like keyboards and like accompaniment during their live show prior to doing this album while they were on tour in the U.S. And a lot of these songs were actually written, I'm not sure if we mentioned this, as Bowie was touring America, and he would go in the studio and record songs. And originally when he released the album, he actually had cities in brackets naming kind of where he was when he was influenced by the subject matter for coming up with these songs. And also the very first song he recorded was several months before the album even came out, Gene Genie.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded that while on tour. Very hard rockin' and a really great bass line on that one. We're going to hear a different version of that a little later. I was going to mention the Mike Garson story. So he actually had a background in avant-garde jazz, and he's featured on piano throughout this album. And most people talk about the title track, Aladdin Sane. So when they were doing this track, Bowie was like, okay, I want you to come up with like a little piano part here. And he came up with like a bluesy piano part, and Bowie's like, no, I don't want that. And he's like, okay, I'll come up with something else. And he came up with something different. He's like, no, I thought you said you were an avant-garde jazz, have an avant-garde jazz background. He's like, I do. He's like, well, I want you to play something like that. And he's like, are you sure? Because you might not be able to work again after this. Anyways, he played it, and it's this amazing avant-garde jazz piece, and it was all done in one take. And that's what we're going to hear on the title track, which is the second track on Aladdin Sane. He's also notable for the work he did on Lady Grinning Soul at the end of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another song or two also throughout the album. I think maybe even Drive-In Saturday as well. I can't recall.
Drive-In Saturday. I would imagine Time as well.
Time is the other one. Yeah.
And it's incredible because a lot of people call this his hard rock record, more of a hard rock record than Ziggy Stardust. But this is less of a rock and roll record than Ziggy because, yeah, you do have kind of peons to pre-Beatles rock and roll with Drive-In Saturday. You have the hard rock of Panic in Detroit and Gene Genie. But then you have, like you said, the title track. You have stuff like Time, you have
Lady Grinning Soul.
You have a lot of abstract stuff going on here. In fact, I'd say this is a very diverse record to the point where it's kind of hard to know where you are while listening to this, which I think reflected very much what Bowie was experiencing in his travels to America and what I think you're about to encounter listening to this version of the record we're about to play.
Yes, and one more thing I just want to add before we get started. As I mentioned, a lot of the songs were influenced by basically Ziggy Goes to America. And one thing that Bowie really didn't want is he didn't want to be stuck in the Ziggy Stardust persona. So this was one of the, well, he was always changing musically. But this was a really strong example of him changing his persona, but also kind of hinting at little bits of experimentation throughout the record into paths that he would explore later on.
Mm-hmm. And definitely diving into sci-fi and speculative fiction as well. That would become more prominent on his follow-up record. But on this one, Aladdin Sane itself is kind of an homage to the works of Kurt Vonnegut. You also have the utopian, sexless drive-in Saturday world. There's a lot going on here.
It's also influenced, one of the tracks was also influenced by an Evelyn Waugh novel.
Yes, that's right.
Which we'll talk about a little later. But let's get started. We're actually going to start off with a live version of Watch That Man, which opens up the album. A really rock track, lots of guitar. But in 1973, they recorded the last Ziggy Stardust concert that he played with the Spiders from Mars as Ziggy. And I don't think he ever did Ziggy again. It was recorded in 73, and there was also an accompanying concert film. But it wasn't released until 1983. So anyways, we're going to hear this live version. Really great. And we're also going to hear another track from this concert a little later on. So let's get started. This is a live version of Watch That Man, originally recorded in 1973 from the Ziggy Stardust The Motion Picture soundtrack. Let's get started. This is Aladdin Sane, the 50th anniversary on Revolution Rock.
Thank you. laugh, babe, it'll be all right. Pour me out another phone. I'll ring and see if your friends are home. Perhaps the strange ones in the dome can lend us a book. We can meet up alone and try to get it on like once before. When eyes and score like the video films we saw. To keep formation mid this fallout saturation, cursing at the astronet that stands in steel by his cabinet. He's crashing out with Sylvia, Euro supply for raging men, with snorting head he gazes to the shore. Rage no more, like the video films he saw. She's uncertain if she likes him.
Listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with Adam Pelche. We're also syndicating across several different stations here in Canada, and we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of David Bowie's Aladdin Sane album, originally released in 1973.
So what we're doing is, as we've been playing for the past few weeks, a full album but with a twist. So we're not just playing the album song for song, we're playing various versions of the songs, whether they're live takes, studio outtakes, different mixes, as we heard in that last set. Although we did end off with the proper album version of Cracked Actor, one of the most propulsive and, should I say, vicious songs on this record.
Yeah, and as we were talking about earlier, lyrically, this one was a little different than, it was different than Ziggy Stardust. It was basically someone reacting to touring America. And what were you saying earlier? Touring America and being,
like, kind of overwhelmed by the excess and the depravity of it. You know, for me, even though Ziggy Stardust ends with a song called Rock and Roll Suicide, it kind of ends still on a note of hope. And, you know, Ziggy himself is this sort of messiah figure. So, you know, it's kind of like this idea of a new messiah, not one that's religious, but one that's built upon freedom of creativity and sexuality. And here, it's kind of like taking that figure and debasing them. And I think Cracked Actor is like the ultimate form of that. You know, the death of Ziggy Stardust was probably right in that song, Cracked Actor.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of these songs reflect a lot of different things. Like, you know, he was talking about a lot of these things. I don't know if these things were being sung about at the time, like people not being too corrupted by the drugs and sex of rock and roll.
I don't really think so. Like, maybe the Stones to an extent, but yeah. I don't think nearly as nakedly and as on point as Bowie was in these songs.
Yeah.
And he also talked about a lot of social issues, like the riots and the violence that had erupted in Detroit in the song we heard before that, which was actually performed live in Detroit, Panic in Detroit.
Yeah, we heard a version from 1974 in Detroit with a slightly different band. He was no longer playing with the Spiders and Mars from Mars. I think he was on the Diamond Dogs tour.
Yeah, he was at that point, and he was incorporating more soulful sounds into his repertoire, which is why we have that sort of horn exchange going on in that version. You can find that off of the 74 live album, David Live.
And yeah, a lot of the lyrics were influenced by stories that Iggy Pop told him around this time period about the 67 riots in Detroit. And also, this was a very busy year for David Bowie. Like, not only did he do this and tour the U.S. and come up with new songs, but he also produced Transformer by Lou Reed. He had to mix Raw Power. It would be a very busy year for him.
He also did the Pinups record, and Pinups then he recorded a bit of material for the next year's release of Diamond Dogs. So yeah, very prolific. Now, prior to Panic in Detroit, we heard Drive-In Saturday. What we heard was a German single edit version, so not the official album version. You can actually find that on 5 Years, which is a massive box set that was released back in 2015, really covering, I think, the majority of what people would consider Bowie's glam rock years.
Yeah, with some outtakes and alternate single versions and stuff like that, and that's where we pulled that from. Prior to that, we heard the title track.
Yeah, great piano on that, as we mentioned, Mike Garson just doing wonders on there, really showing that you could incorporate jazz into rock and roll. There were elements of that before, obviously, with bands like the Birds trying to incorporate that, but I don't think we